Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. Good to come together on the Prayer Closet. This is that show where we come together to pray for one another, to encourage each other, to bear one another's burdens. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs, and if you need prayer today, well, that's why we're here. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And let us know how we can pray for you on the Prayer Closet. Could be something little, something big. Doesn't matter. Whatever's laying on your heart, let us pray for it. And maybe you got a praise, a celebration. Maybe God answered a prayer. Maybe called in earlier with a prayer request and God answered. Well, we want to pray for that as well. Love to hear those answers to prayer. Love to hear those praises. It's good to give praise to God, too. So whatever it is, a need, a praise, a concern, let us pray for you today. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information. So don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come together to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to build each other up in the Word. We pray that you would move with power and might and strength in the lives of your people today, that they would experience you in all your goodness, all your fullness, and all your strength. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. And before we get into our prayer requests, and once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. But before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And so we've been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 all week, as we've been talking about love this Valentine's week, but godly love. What does love as God sees it look like? Because God's view of love and the world's view of love are very different. So let's go ahead. We'll read through it because it's very short. And now I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so we've talked about the primacy of love, which is what Paul talked about at the beginning, how we need to have love over everything else. We talked about the qualities of love. And so we're going to look at the last part of it, the enduring quality of love. At the very end there, it says it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Talking about the qualities of love. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You think about that, especially those last two, that it always hopes, always perseveres. Love is ultimately optimistic. It hopes for the best of everyone. mean, that's, we've been talking about love as our, as genuinely desiring God's best for another person. That's what a real biblical love is. When we genuinely desire God's best for that other person. That's what biblical love is. It hopes, it perseveres, it lasts. It's able to hope because it trusts in God. It's able to persevere. And that's why he says that love never fails, because God never fails. God is love. So there are prophecies they will cease, tongues they will cease. They will be still, knowledge it will pass away. All these things are temporary. A lot of these things, you know, we talk about spiritual gifts and things like that, and those are important things. But we won't need them in heaven. Those things will pass away. They're necessary for now. They're necessary for this time, in this context. But they won't be necessary in heaven. You think about prophecy, we won't need to prophesy in heaven. God's there. God'll just tell us. We're directly with him. So all these things are going to pass away. Because when perfection comes, imperfection disappears. When we're in perfect relationship, we need the spiritual gifts now because we're not in perfect relationship with God. You know, we're growing, we're being sanctified, but we're still dealing with sin. And so God gives us these gifts as ways to draw closer to him, to perfect our faith. They're tools. But once the faith is perfected, you don't need the tools anymore. You're building the house, you need the tools. You're painting a picture, you need the tools. When it's done, you don't need them anymore. You can put them away. And so all those things will be put away when the work is finished and we've been perfectly sanctified with God. Spiritual disciplines, spiritual gifts, all these things that we have, these are all tools that we use to draw us closer to God, to conform us evermore into the image of Christ. But in heaven, we'll be perfectly conformed to Christ. We'll be like Jesus. In the sense that, you know, Jesus said, I can only do what I see my Father doing. That he always walked in perfect accord and in perfect harmony with God's will. He was never outside of it. Never challenged it. He just saw what the Father was doing and did it. He did it in that way to show us this is how we live. This is what it means to be truly human. And when our perfected wills come in heaven, we will be the same way. You know, now it's sometimes a challenge to follow God. Like, right now, it's easy to be selfish and sinful, right? It's easy. It doesn't require effort. It's our natural thing. We got to war against that and, you know, work to be righteous and selfless and godly and holy. In heaven, though, our natural default will be to be righteous. It will be easy to be righteous. That will be our natural default. It won't be like the sinful nature, which leads us away from God, but a perfected nature that leads us to him. And as easy as it is to sin now, it will be that easy to follow God in perfection in heaven with our perfected wills. That's why Paul says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. We'll be grown and matured in our faith. It says now, you know, that famous passage, now we see, you know, but a poor reflection. I like the way the old King James says it, through a glass darkly. You know, we see a poor reflection. We see imperfectly. We all have a picture of God in our heads, right? We all have an idea of God in our heads. And for all of us, that idea of God is imperfect. Now, all of us have ideas about God that are probably wrong. Not because we're trying to have wrong ideas about God, we're trying to have right ideas, we're trying to learn, but just because we know in part. And either we have ideas that are wrong or incomplete or not quite right. You know, and part of God's work in us is to give us a clearer and better understanding of who He is. But the fact is, that's the truth. I mean, we all have kind of an imperfect view of God. Paul says, because we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Right? We're trying to see God through all these veils. And it's hard. And Paul's admitting that. He says, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We know God in part. Now, that's not to say we can't know true things about God or enough about God. God's told us everything we need to know for our salvation and sanctification. He's not withheld knowledge from us. But the fact is, it's incomplete and always will be in this lifetime. It always will be. But in heaven, we'll have full knowledge of God. Now, I don't believe that means complete knowledge in the sense that we'll know everything there is to know about God. I don't think you can ever know, or we will ever know, everything there is to know about God. God is infinite, and it takes an eternity to know Him. We will always be learning about God. There will always be new things to discover. I think this is one reason why heaven will not be boring. We'll constantly be learning and growing, even in heaven, as we learn more and more and more about God. Because there's just no bottom. There's endless depths to God. There's always more to discover, more to know, more to delight in. But what will happen is all our knowledge of God will be perfect. We'll no longer have false or incomplete or unclear understandings of who God is. Everything we know about God will be accurate and true. Now, I do think our knowledge increases greatly of God and when we're in His presence, too. But it will be perfect knowledge. There won't be a lot of theological debates in heaven, right? We'll know. We'll understand. And then we'll grow together in learning ever more about Him. You know, it's like reading the Bible. You ever read the Bible and you read a passage that you've read 100 times? And that day you just see something in it that you've never seen before? And you'd gone over it 100 times, you could maybe quote it by memory. And yet, for some reason, that day you just see something there that you'd never seen before. God shows you something new. You know, and I think that's going to be like in heaven with God. He'll just show us something new all the time. It's going to be wonderful. So we'll have this full, complete, accurate knowledge of God. As our minds and our wills are perfected. And all of this is a work of love. Remember, this is what's this passage about? It's about love. Paul's telling us about love, and he's saying, this is the work of love. It is love that will ultimately work to perfect us. And so these other things, not that they're not important, the spiritual gifts and spiritual disciplines and all these other things, they're important. They matter. They're necessary for this time and this place. But in the end, they won't be. But love will always be necessary. Our wills will be sanctified and purified and perfected. but love will remain. They'll be perfected in love, by love, and for love. And so Paul tells us, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Faith will always remain, because we'll always be in heaven based on our faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, that never changes. It's faith in Christ. So that will never change. The hope that we have from God, of course, that will never leave because God is there with us. So we'll always have hope. But that faith and that hope are in the love of God. It was for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It was the love of God that spurred on our salvation. It was the love of God that will perfect us in his will. And it's the love of God that will keep us forever in his presence. Love is the greatest. And the more we come to learn that, the more we will come to learn and understand and grow in God's truth. The more mature we will become, the more we will put away childish things and grow into the full knowledge of God.